listening to Be Still and Know, the ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. Today we will look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, we pray your Spirit to descend upon us here as we gather around your word, seeking wisdom and guidance in our lives. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. We continue this morning looking at the importance of prayer in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ and children of our awesome God. 2 weeks ago, we looked at why it is we pray. Last week, we looked at how we pray and the importance of praying from the heart. Today we look at the power of prayer in our lives, not just as individuals, but as a community, as a church, as people who are seeking to be closer to God. There have been a great number of studies performed on the effects of isolation in people's lives. A professor by the name of Andrew Steptoe studied 6,500 British people over the age of 52 for about 8 years. He found that those who are most socially isolated during his study were 26% more likely to die than those who had the most socially active lives. There is another study that has shown that isolation in mice caused increased tumor growth. Yet another study showed that the brains of lonely people react differently than those who have strong social networks around them. Scientists have spent decades studying the effects of loneliness and isolation on people. The results are pretty well all negative. From premature death to rewired brains to increased tumor growth, and there's many other findings out there that it's not good to be completely socially isolated. Now, I'm not saying we need to be with people every waking moment of our day. No, please. No, thanks. I love you, but we all need our time to be alone once in a while, right? I mean, for some of us, that requirement is greater than others, introverts versus extroverts, and that, but we all like to be alone once in a while. But these studies show that extreme isolation, spending day after day, week after week, of time being completely alone, is not healthy. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Without good human interaction, a person can definitely begin to feel depressed or alone after a period of time. Now, sure, we have things like Facebook, but that cannot fill the void of true face-to-face communication. I mean, the telephone itself can't even replace face-to-face communication. It's being with people, seeing other people, sharing with other people, person to person, that provides a pick-me-up. Think about funerals for a moment. It's the interaction at a wake or a reception where we share in our sorrow and maybe laugh at some stories or gather around the table, the kitchen table. In some strange way, those interactions make us feel better, right? It's true. I see it all the time. I can see a family completely devastated by the loss of a loved one. But put them in a room full of caring people, and their attitude changes. They start to feel better. It still hurts, for sure, but it seems like that sting is a little more numbed. It's numbed because they know that there's a group of people who are willing to walk that journey, that tough time, with them. So when we look at our scripture reading from John this morning, we see Jesus talking about a branch and its ability to live or not when it's separated from the tree. And Jesus likens this to our connection to him. If we see God as the giver of all life and we acknowledge Jesus as his son, so then why would we want to be apart from him? I love those first two verses of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. This is Jesus talking. Do we believe Jesus is the perfect Son of God? Of course we do. But what is Jesus saying in those first two verses? Jesus says even he needs to have some dead branches removed once in a while. Wow. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, needs guidance and direction from his Father. Even Jesus needs it. So if Jesus appears to need the occasional pick-me-up, the occasional redirection, cleaning up, then what chance do we have if we try to do it alone apart from God? Jesus says in verse 3, he says, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. So there is our starting point. The words of Jesus cleanses us. And so what does he say next? In verses 4 and 5, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. There's a twofold approach as to how this manifests itself in our lives. We just heard about how we need to abide in Jesus. We need to live in him. So first we need to know him. We need to know about Jesus and his teachings. So we start in the place where we can find him. We pick up our Bibles and learn about him. We read about what he did. We read about how he changed the lives of people he met. We read about how he wants us to live. We read about how he impacted people after his death and resurrection, about how he appeared to people. We read about how his life impacted people for decades after he ascended to be with our Father in heaven. It's in the Bible we encounter his words which cleanse us, his words which can have a great impact on how we live and how we see he lived his life and invites us to live our own. That's the first step, picking up our Bibles and getting to know Jesus. The second step is to abide in him, that is to live in him. Jesus tells us we cannot bear fruit, we cannot produce fruit, and that we cannot live the life he asks us to live unless we abide in him. Like the branch that's cut off the vine, we too will wither when we do not remain attached to Jesus. He invites us to live in him, abide in him, and in return he says he'll live, he'll abide in us. Together with the cleansing words of Jesus and allowing him to live in us, Jesus says we will produce much fruit. So the first step is to pick up our Bibles and read. The second step is to get as close to Jesus as we can. And to do that, we pray. We need to pray for the weak branches in our lives to be removed. We need to pray that we will be pruned so we can produce more fruit, better fruit. If Jesus needed it, then we most certainly need it. What branches do we need to remove? Sometimes it's pretty obvious, right? When you look at a tree and you see a dead, lifeless limb, you know what needs to be removed. But sometimes there are branches which appear to show life, yet nothing ever grows on them. They may look healthy, but underneath could be a fungus or an insect which is impacting its ability to grow and produce fruit. We maybe can't see the fungus, but it's killing the branch. It's there, without us even knowing. It might require us to bring in an expert, an arborist, to look at our tree and tell us what's wrong with our tree. This expert can look at our tree and tell us which branches we should cut, which ones are unhealthy, which ones need to be pruned so they can grow more and produce that fruit that we want. Well, prayer can do the same thing for us. We can ask Jesus, we can ask God to take a good, hard look at our lives and tell us what it is we need to remove so that we can grow and we can flourish. We could ask, he could ask us to remove a branch we think is good and healthy, but in reality, it's slowly poisoning us. We need to ask God to point these things out to us in prayer. When he asks us to give up something we think is good, we need to remember we're being cared for so that we can produce greater, healthier fruit. Some of you I know love to garden, so I hope this is making sense in some way. I'm not a gardener, but I think it makes sense to me, so I hope it makes sense to you. God is the gardener, right? He cares for the whole plant. He trims, he breaks off, he feeds, he prunes, he waters, he makes sure the plant is healthy to produce fruit. Jesus is the vine. He is the backbone for the entire plant. He is the one that provides the nutrients from the gardener to the branches which hang off the vine. If you remove one of those branches, it may continue to live for a little while, but eventually it will wither and die because of its isolation from the rest of the plant, where it gets its life. We are those branches. We need that continuous connection to the vine. We need to be cared for by the gardener because we cannot live on our own. If we want to call ourselves Christians, then we need to be connected to the one who gives us life, the one who inspires us, guides us, and yes, protects us. When we gather in this church, we are being cared for. Here is where we get watered and pruned, and we're doing it all together. Here we listen to the words of Jesus. Here we let God speak to us. Here we confess our wrongdoings and seek healing and forgiveness. Coming here to church, we gather together for mutual support and care on our faith journey. Going back to the studies I mentioned around isolation, coming here keeps us in contact with others who have those same desires for a deeper relationship with God. To stretch out the gardening imagery further, probably to its limit, I suppose you could call this a greenhouse. It's a place where we come to be safe from the elements which seek to keep us from growing, things that may harm us. And once we've reached a level of maturity, then we're ready to go out and be the beautiful plants in the world that needs more beauty. We come to the church to learn more about Jesus. We come here to grow in our understanding of what it means to be a child of God. And we come to learn how to use those ancient practices of prayer and meditation and contemplation to grow even more in our faith. We do it all in the company of one another as we seek to grow as a community and work together to discern a greater plan for our church and for the streets in which we live. Prayer is not just a solitary act. I know I've mentioned this before. We grow as a community when we pray together. We learn from each other, and our hearts are brought together seeking direction and protection from our Father. In fact, I'd be willing to say that our prayers here are very important in helping us form our own personal prayer life. What we learn, what we hear, what we experience as a community in prayer helps form the prayers we share and the secret prayers we have with God at home. Corporate prayer, the prayers of our churches here together, are vitally important in our faith development. Each week we pray for the concerns of our hearts, and we also seek to spend time in silence praying from our own hearts. we can take these practices back to our homes and pray there. We can go home to our own prayer time, sit with our Bibles to read these words, to be inspired, to be directed, to be cleansed, and to gather focus as we enter into our own prayer time with God. We need this time to connect with our source of life. We need to take time to feed off the vine, to gather strength for what each day will bring us. God is the source of life. Jesus is the one that connects us to that source. He's the connection. He is the glue that holds us all together. Jesus said we can bear good fruit. So this seems to be a good time to see, well, what does good fruit look like in terms of the Bible? So if we flip to Galatians 5, starting at verse 22, Paul is writing to the church and he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, there is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another, he says. So if you want to bear good fruit in the name of Jesus Christ, be these things. Be the fruits of the Spirit. Show them. Be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, generous, faithful, gentle, and practice self-control. When you think about it, these fruits of the Spirit kind of fall out of what Jesus called the greatest commandments. When he says, love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God and you love your neighbors, then you will most certainly be loving, kind, peaceful, patient, all those things that Paul describes in his letter to the church. If we struggle with these fruits of the Spirit, then we need to go to God and ask him to help us do these things. And here's where he can help us remove those barriers, the things that keep us from being peaceful or practicing self-control or any of those fruits of the Spirit. If we're struggling with them, then we ask God to help us with them because something is keeping us from doing it. So we go to God and ask him to take off those sick branches, to prune us so that we can grow to be more full and healthy. And it can begin with just a simple question. We can go to God in prayer and we can ask God, what do I need to subtract from my life so that you can add? That's part of the pruning process. I would also say this is an important question for us to ask as a church. What do we need to subtract so that we can add? I was reading about a megachurch in the United States a while ago. This church, it was huge, like a number of them are, but it went through a major dramatic change in focus, which according to the general rules of what being a megachurch looks like, should have caused it to collapse. But it didn't. In fact, the church grew even more. What did they do? They decided to remove all the programs which were not tied to their primary vision. This church used to have like community sport leagues. It used to have programs for just about anything you can imagine in life, like single mothers, single fathers, grieving parents, grieving children. They had everything. They had staff like coming out of their ears. They bought into the myth that if you're busy, you're better. So after a lot of prayer, they decided to drop all programs that were not tied to their vision. All programs that weren't helping people grow in their relationship with God. Once the church decided they needed to focus on spiritual growth and the discipleship of the people who passed through their doors, that's when lives really began to change. So what does Jesus want from our church? In simple terms, he wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be his disciples. He wants to help us. He wants to help us grow in our faith and to help others grow in their faith too. So how do we do it? We do the things he's asked us to do, to be cleansed by his word and to abide in him so he can abide in us. Jesus wants to share our lives with us, and he wants us to share those fruits of the Spirit with others, those things from Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, and the whole list. If we commit to becoming a church and a people of prayer, we will grow wonderful fruit. People will see Jesus in us and in our church, and they will want to share in this harvest. They will want to grow fruit too. So let us be a people of prayer. Let us be people seeking Jesus in our lives as we seek to live in him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we want to know you more. We want you to live in our hearts so that every day we hear your voice guiding, leading, and protecting us. Help us to be more fruitful. Help us to grow in love, joy, peace, faithfulness, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. Help us to commit to a life of prayer where we will grow this great fruit and be able to share it with others. Help us to hear you and grow in you. This we ask in your holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.